Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let's see. Make sure the audio. Two four oh 1172. Your mic is open.
What's going on, Brother Yusuf?
Hey, what's happening? What's going on?
Hey, nothing, man. It's a pleasure talking to you. I listen to you every day.
Thank you. What you got for me?
Hey, so right now I'm in a bit of a bind because I had back when I first learned about this information, you know, the first thing you hear like, you know, your bills is already paid for and all this other stuff. So I had gotten to sending notices to like all the companies that I was like getting billed by and stuff, and like I had stopped paying. So I had like two cars. One was an unsecured loan. The other one was secured because I live in Maryland, and, you know, Maryland is a title-holding state, so I had got the title for one, and then the second one, I had gave them back the title. Well, I had gave them the title. So the repo company had hit me up and was like, yeah, well, where's your car at? And they didn't know. My car was, you know, it was getting fixed, so I was just like, oh, yeah, I can't find the car, you know what I'm saying? Like, Why would I tell you where my car is at? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It was like, y'all try finding it. You know what I'm saying? But long story short is I'm trying to figure out the process, the steps and process I had to do to do a administrative process properly. I know that you have on your I am a member of SBC University, and I know you have it on SBC University. But essentially, what I really want to know is should I go about it by sending an international bill of exchange or just like a regular bill of exchange?
Okay, good question. And I'm going to answer your question. Okay, first and foremost, there are a couple of things that you have to understand, a couple of principles that you have to lock down first. Number one, there is no money. All right. Number two, there's a public and private. They don't mix. Number three, you have to stay in honor at all costs. And number four, you cannot participate in public controversy. Before you enter, you have to understand those things, and you also need to understand the 10 maxims of commercial law. The next thing you need to understand is that you're in an adversarial system, which means nobody is bending over. Nobody's going to go quietly in the night. Nobody's going to take your bill of exchange and say thank you for your payment. If you're coming in here thinking like that, you're in the wrong area, okay? Nobody's doing that, all right, when you use a bill of exchange or promissory note. Perhaps if you can access, that's why everybody wants to access the TDA account, because they think by doing that, it's going to be a lot simpler process in getting their bills paid. That's what they believe. They don't know that shit, but that's what they believe. I've seen everything from people monetizing their birth certificate on a trading platform. That's why everybody has their bonds at $100 million, because that's what it takes to get on a trading platform. But enough of that. You asked me the question, international bill of exchange versus a bill of exchange. First of all, it's an international bill of exchange because law between the states, when you look it up in a Black's Law Dictionary, is going to tell you to see international law. They are foreign to you. All right? The United States is foreign to you. Okay? They're foreign. It's public and private, and they don't mix. They are operating under maritime international law. This is a merchant. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a video that should be up tonight on YouTube that is an introduction to the law merchant. I'm actually editing it right now as we speak. I've been working on it all day today to educate people about maritime admiralty law, okay, and what that is involving. So that's why you're using an international bill of exchange. If you want to understand how to use an international bill of exchange, if you go for free for free. The people think everything is you know, we have to pay for stuff. He's charging for stuff. Everybody charges. No, you just don't read. That's all it is. Let me go to my website real quick. Let me put this on the screen. All right, so this is SC. Now, this is for free. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to be a member. Go over to my website. All these documents right here are free. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to be a member. Just go to my website. Click on PDF download. Got a whole bunch of stuff. A lot of this stuff is already in the Facebook group. A lot of it is already in the Facebook group. The Facebook group got a ton of information. All right? So what you're looking for is right here, Unicentral Convention on International Bills of Exchange. All right, what this is going to show you, let me make sure it popped up. All right, what this is going to show you is how to put together an International Bill of Exchange, the very first seven articles. It's for promissory notes and bills of exchange. You're probably wondering, well, what do I use? Do I use a bill of exchange or do I use a promissory note? A promissory note is a two-party instrument, and bill of exchange is a three-party instrument, very similar to a check. The reason you're using a bill of exchange, you only use that if you're a secured party, because secured party is really private banking. Okay, and we know when we do private banking, it's just like a bank account. When you write a check, it's a three-party instrument. You have a draw or a drawee, pay or a payee. Okay? Well, it's the same thing with a bill of exchange. All right? You're drafting, you're drawing an instrument, and you're drawing from something. You're making a deposit with a bond with the Treasury Department. The credits are on the bond itself. There are no secret accounts. The instructions are on the bond. It is a trust situation because a trust is a trust whether it says it's a trust or not, okay? So the indenture of the trust is on the bond that you're submitting to the Treasury Department. The Secretary of the Treasury, if they elect to retain that bond, they become the fiduciary of it. You have a claim on that bond pursuant to UCC 3-306, so now you're the holder due course of it because with that bond, you also submitted to them a what? A UCC-1. That fulfills the notice requirements under UCC 1-202. That allows you to be a holder in due course because only if you are a holder in due course do you have a claim pursuant to UCC 3-306 to that instrument or UCC 3-305, which is to recoup that instrument, either the instrument or the funds that are related to it. So you need to understand all of this. So you're going to use the International Bill of Exchange, all right? In this document, it tells you how to do it. What does it say right here? The convention applies to international bills of exchange, where it contains the heading International Bill of Exchange, Unicentral Convention, and also in the body. So it needs to be on the document two times. I have a video on SPC University right in the archive section that I done three times and show you that I spent like 3-4 hours showing you going step by step, reading this out, and showing you, I read this and then show you how to put the bill of exchange together. These are the instructions to put the bill of exchange together right here. Okay? Ain't no secrets. Nobody's keeping anything from you. Next, when you do an administrative process, creditors and their bonds show you how to do a complete administrative process. You have to start with the certificate of non-response. Since all disputes end in court, because you shouldn't be doing anything without an expectation that you're going to end up in court. I don't give a fuck what it is or what somebody is giving you some process and guaranteed that it works every time and all that shit. You are a damn fool if you do any process and didn't cover your bases in case you have to go to court. And court requires evidence. And evidence has to be presented in a certain way. It has to be attested to under penalty of perjury. So everything that is included with anything you do has to be accompanied with a what? An affidavit. Okay, evidence is submitted in a couple of different ways, either through affidavit, through deposition, through in-court testimony, or you're going to have some sort of notarized document. What did I learn that in dealing with presentment that go through the whole thing? Free documents. Hold on, let me read the comments real quick. All Okay, I muted your mic.